Dane Bradshaw should be on with us any minute now. He joins us now. Dane Bradshaw, the SEC Network, Vol for Life. Dane, we were talking about this, man. There's a whole lot of governors in SEC states that are starting to tweet out that they're open for business. The governor of Tennessee has not said such a thing yet, so we will have an SEC tournament. It will have limited capacity, but it's sure better than this time last year, Dane, when everybody started to get a phone call and they just said, you got to go home.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, I think everybody kind of remembers where they were when the shutdown started to happen. I had just finished a game, last conference game of the year at Texas A&M. I flew down to Destin to meet my wife and kids. And actually, at the end of the trip, I was going to be having the Sun Belt Championship that was going to be played in New Orleans. And it was Arkansas Little Rock against somebody else. And throughout the week, you're starting to hear about some cancellations. Then when Rudy Gobert, the NBA, got it, they shut down. And you just started to hear more and more cancellations. And I can't lie. I was sitting there. I was like, you know, I like to pride myself on preparation. But I'm not sure on vacation down here having a beer and dust. And I'm going to keep I'm gonna start prepping for Arkansas Little Rock at this point. I'm going to take my chance if it gets canceled. So I was not happy to see the cancellation for everything. But I can remember sitting there. And Sunbelt was actually one of the last ones to go. I was like, all right. Surely they're not going to be the only conference to go here. But, in all seriousness, no, I mean, I'm still sick to my stomach for those athletes and the seniors that were shoo-ing for the NCAA tournament to have that last opportunity taken away. I know this year they've allowed seniors to come back for a final year, given how unique it's been. But I got to tell you, I mean, you can't go back and change it, but to me, you know, the people that lost out the most aren't necessarily this year's seniors with lack of crowd. It was last year's seniors that had a chance to play in the big dance.
We're on with Dane Bradshaw, Ball for Life, SEC Network.
Yeah, Dane, I guess I wanted to ask you, what was senior day like for you, man? Because I know I would have been an emotional wreck, man. What was it like, man? What was the things you were going through, going through your mind?
It's funny you ask. I had an incredibly unique, awesome senior night. And I had it, you know, penciled knowing it was going to be my last game, of course, and you see it. But it was against Florida. And Billy Donovan down there, Joakim Noah, Al Horford, they would go on to win their second championship. And we actually had a player get kicked off the team earlier in the year, another one redshirted. So I was the only senior. So, man, I lucked out. Like, marketing department didn't have a choice. They just had to make it, you know, a Dane celebration day. And so I had senior night to myself, playing against Florida on ESPN. Dick Vitale got to be on the call. Pat Summitt, God bless her soul. She, earlier in the year, Bruce Pearl had taken off his shirt at a women's game and painted it up out of support. And that was the game, my senior night, where she got in a cheerleader outfit and did sang Rocky Top and was on top of a pyramid at one of the breaks. And all these things were planned ahead of time. And it was just and Bruce Pearl actually bragged a little bit, but on more on him. He endowed a scholarship in my name that same night. But aside from all that, the most important parts were we beat Florida. But before the game, Peyton Manning was in town, fresh off his Super Bowl MVP. It was he, Brandon Stokley, Jeff Saturday. He gave the pregame speech. And we won. And on the strip in Knoxville, where the old college inn, OCI, I'm having post-game Buffalo Wings with Jeff Saturday. Peyton Manning with SportsCenter up on the TV in the back. So I don't know. I probably only scored 7 or 8 points, but forget that. All those other the rest of the circus and all the other events and festivities around, nobody remembers it was my senior night, but I damn sure do. With all that.
It was your night, right?
That's like a Disney movie.
Man, that was awesome. I haven't been even.
But that was it, man. That was like I saw all the stuff going on. I knew everything that was happening. I knew Peyton was in town. I knew what Pat was going to do. I'm looking around. I'm like, there's something bad going to happen. Like, there's no way, like, play well. I'm going to miss the game winning shot. I just started thinking negatively, but fortunately, it all worked out for that one thing.
Well, since you talked about a negative, I mean, isn't Pons and Folky considered seniors now. This is their night. I mean, what are they thinking right now? What do they need to do to get things fixed? Man, I was looking at the free throws. Let's start there. Pods has only shot 28 free throws all season. He's only made 22.
An incredible athlete, and he gets credit on the defensive end for not ever fouling because he has great discipline. But he's also, as strong as he is, he's not an overly physical player. He doesn't go to the rim. I mean, you know, just with reckless abandonment. He usually settles kind of for that 5-10 foot jumper. And some of it is because he doesn't have to throw his body into you. Would you like to see more of it now that he's missing some of those jumpers? Because he can typically just elevate and has that high release and get it off without risking a charge or anything. So feel bad for those guys, just knowing how much pressure you put on yourself. And I was actually talking to a former volunteer, Kevin Punter, brought up a good point. He was one of the first players under Barnes who had an excellent career. And he said, you know, these guys now, there's a different sort of pressure and standard for the Tennessee seniors after the way Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and, you know, even Kyle Alexander, all these guys are starting to get in the NBA now. And you kind of feel like, all right, well, it's my turn. They passed the baton to me. I got to be, you know, the guy. And it's a high standard. I think it's been an odd year. They put a lot of pressure on themselves. But I think what the best thing that can happen for them outside of just beating Florida and getting some confidence is getting into the postseason. Just go to the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament, which obviously will happen, but it just gives you a fresh start because at that point as a player, you aren't even thinking any longer about the past 5 games you've had or the slump you're in. At that point, man, it is, you know, everything's out the window and it is do or die. And I think sometimes that can give a little bit of a relief in terms of a fresh start for guys that are struggling.
Well, with Dane Bradshaw with SEC Network and analysts for SEC Network.
Dane, is this team missing? You know, we were talking to one of the Vols reporters, and he said, in his opinion, this was a couple of weeks ago, he said he felt like the team was too unselfish. And maybe that's true about this team. But is this team also missing that dude who'll stop practice and get in somebody's face or pull somebody aside in a timeout? Are they missing that alpha dog guy?
Yeah, to a degree. I also say, look, we can't 1 week talk about Tennessee's culture is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Look how awesome these kids are and how well they work together, this and that. And then when they lose, it's like, oh, they don't have enough jerks on the team to hold, you know. So, look, I mean, the personality is what it is on the team. Would you like to see more of it? Yes. But, I mean, there's no question, you know, if Fulkerson is playing better, he's got to, you know, I'm not giving him a pass on leadership. It's just your influence and your leadership sometimes can be, the influence can be, you know, lessened a little bit by your performance. And it's not that the rest of the team doesn't respect it, but, you know, when you're kind of dealing with your own struggles, that can have an impact. And, yeah, we'd like to see that alpha dog and all that. But to me, Tennessee's offense has what could be 3 primary weapons. And the things that you have seen before, and so it makes you greedy to want to see all 3 of them in the same game. One is Eve Pons, John Fulkerson down low or at the elbows. That's where Tennessee likes to operate their offense with, you know, and Rick Barnes has always done that through getting the ball down low in the post. Those guys have shown to be very confident players, but it just hasn't been there for whatever reason. The second part is their motion offense. They swing the ball around when they're getting, you know, 60 to 70% of their makes are off assisted baskets. It's a thing of beauty. And we've seen them be able to just knock down open threes. And then third is, if you take all that away, they've got one-on-one guys that can break you down offensively and Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson on the perimeter. And so in a perfect world, all 3 of those things are hitting in the same game to where a defense doesn't, you know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. And is it, as I've said before, is that too much to ask? Maybe, but the reason a Tennessee fan is asking for that is because we've seen that out of each of those 3 arsenals. And it just has struggled to come together. You know, I would love for Tennessee to just try to hang on to a 5 seed. And because once you get that 5 seed, you got yourself a pretty good path to the Sweet 16. And like I said, just getting a clean slate into entering the SEC tournament. But right now they've started to slide a little bit, similar to Missouri in the SEC, to where they've gone from that really good Sweet 16 path, where now you definitely don't want to end up in that 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, 6 might be okay. Actually, Tennessee got an Elite 8 off the 6th seed under Bruce Pearl with a little couple upsets. So, but that 7, 8, 9, you want to try to stay away from.
Talking with Dane Bradshaw, covers the Tennessee Vols and all of SEC hoops for the SEC Network.
Well, Dane, who do you have for, or I guess maybe who, you know, what people or players as far as SEC Player of the Year? You got multiple guys, or you got a for sure guy you say is going to win it?
Now, Bama's taken all the hardware this year for me outside of Freshman of the Year, and I'm a big believer, you know, the better the team does, the more individual success. And I don't always necessarily vote best player on best team, because every once in a while there can be some exceptions where somebody just has a historic year offensively or whatever. But there just hadn't been that outside of any teams that are that close to Alabama. And so I've got Herb Jones for all the things he does for that team. He's their leader. He fills the stat sheet. He takes the charges, does all the hustle plays. He's everything to Alabama. He's the player of the year for me, but he's also defensive player of the year for me, which would be the first time since Tyler Ulis at Kentucky. I believe he and Anthony Davis were the only two that I'm aware of that got both defensive player of the year and player of the year. So I think he could be in the elite category. Nate Oates, coach of the year, and Moses Moody over at Arkansas is, to me, hands down freshman of the year. But even sixth man of the year, Alabama's got a kid, Javon Quinterly, that's been phenomenal off the bench.
Oh, so. My. This is horrible, Dane. Alabama good in football and basketball. This is absolutely crazy. I can't believe we're even having these conversations. Let's get back to who used to be good in basketball in the SEC, and that's Kentucky. If Kentucky runs the table and goes all the way, I'm not going to say they're going to win the SEC, but what if they make it to the championship? Do they have any possibility of going to the NCAA tournament?
No. They've got to win the whole thing, and even though it's tempting to pick them even slightly, I just, you know, I don't see them. I've got too much respect for the quality of the teams in the league. I don't see Kentucky winning 3 or maybe 4, depending on seeding, straight games. And of all years where Kentucky could use a full capacity crowd for Big Blue Nation to come and just take over Nashville, give them that home court advantage momentum, this is the year they need it. 20% Big Blue Nation, I don't think is enough to get these guys to play above themselves. And I think Ole Miss has a better chance at getting in the NCAA tournament because of their overall resume. Now, if Ole Miss got to the title game, they might pick up enough quality wins to where they could be on the right side of the bubble without having to actually win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess two questions in one. Who wins the SEC tournament, and how many SEC teams get in the NCAA tournament?
6 teams get in. I don't think a 7th team finds a way, and I look for an Alabama Arkansas rematch, and Alabama gets revenge on Arkansas after getting beat pretty bad up in Fayetteville. So I don't know that Alabama will be a thing of beauty offensively. They've been good, not great recently, even though it's a trademark for them. But I told somebody earlier, I think once they hit the NCAA term, I look for Alabama to just take off on offense, because right now, you're seeing all these teams go up against Alabama that have already played them once, twice, maybe if you find them again in the SEC tournament. But with some of these teams that have only seen them on film and hadn't witnessed how well they can shoot it, how hard they drive it, I think they're going to, I think there's going to be some rude awakenings in the NCAA tournament against some opponents that haven't been able to live and learn against the Tide.
Dane, we're up against the break. Dane Bradshaw is our guest. I just had to bring this name up because anytime you're on, I'll usually kind of look back at your stats or just kind of go back and do a little Dane Bradshaw reading. And I'd forgotten that you had a teammate who has one of the all-time great names, Pee-wee Gash. What a fantastic name. I know his tenure on Rocky Top came to an unceremonious end, but what a fantastic name.
He was a great walk-on for us, and nobody could beat him on the sticks, man, in video games. We were at the Maui Invitational hosted by EA Sports against all the greats. He took on the EA Sports Championship amongst all the teams out there. Little man could spice you up in that.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's his one shining moment was EA Sports Day. And thank you, man. We appreciate the time as always, and can't wait to check out this SEC tournament in Nashville coming up next week. Thank you, man.
All right, anytime. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Dane.
Dane Bradshaw, Vol for Life. Hey, when we come back, I got some Bud Dupree news. Bud Dupree's making some predictions about Bud Dupree. Titans need a pass rusher. I'll share you what I know next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. J. Martin.